Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Luis Fuentes Rower joins us now, professor of law at the University of Indiana, Bloomington. And he is on line 7. Professor, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Really good. So is this something that you study? How do you come to have some knowledge about this?
Yeah, I've studied the problem for many years, and I write in the area. I think about voting most of my waking days, so that when the president signed the executive order, you know, it piqued my interest, yes.
And is this something that we should be addressing? Is there a problem with voter fraud in this country?
In a word, no. Let me just say, this is not a new problem. It's not a new issue. We've been talking about voter fraud for quite some time. Now, quite some time, by that I mean 5-10 years. And people have looked into it. And the studies that we have, not a study has found large-scale voter fraud to the degree that we hear in the news. In fact, it's minuscule. The voter fraud we see, it's barely worthy of the moniker voter fraud, because it's not really very much.
I guess we need to define what that means, right? Is that somebody who is impersonating somebody else? That's the classic definition, right?
And that's the one that, when we talk about voter fraud, that is the one that critics usually talk about. That's the one that concerns them. You know, you being in Chicago, you would know. Usually people refer to the Chicago-style politics and dead people voting, or people moving out of the state and voting back in their old state. Or President Trump has talked about people being registered in different places. Well, he's right about that. People do register in different places, but that's mostly because people move. And when you move from one place to another, you don't, you know, look back to the old residence and unregister yourself. But the idea that people vote for who they are not, or that people vote in different places, or that people are trying to rig elections by impersonating other voters, that really doesn't happen all that much. I mean, it's really hard to do, first of all. And second of all, people don't really, if you want to steal an election, that's not the way you would do it.
How would you do it?
That's interesting. If you wanted to do it, the easiest way, and I'm not condoning it, mind you, but the one place to look is absentee ballots. And there we see more fraud, in fact. Not a lot, but we see some. You know, it's much easier to steal a bunch of ballots and mail them in, because you don't see who's doing or undue influence is either, actually, it's more likely to happen. The idea that when you mail these out, you don't know on the other end what's in fact happening. But as I said, we see more issues in absentee ballot, but interestingly enough, that is not one area that voter ID laws usually cover.
Do you also look at instances of, say, particularly in a local election? You know, I don't know that I'm going to influence the presidential election unless I'm in that one county in Ohio, or maybe in a county in Wisconsin. But I mean, at a local election where there might be just 1,000 votes cast for city councilman or alderman or something, maybe I could go around and vote 5-10 times. I'll go vote, and then I'll go to the next grade school, and I'll vote again, and I'll go to the next grade school, and I'll vote again. Does anything like that ever happen?
No, I mean, that's the point, right? That you could, your points well taken, you could try it in certain elections, and you could actually have a sway or an influence, an undue influence in elections, but there's no evidence that is happening. The evidence I have seen, the large-scale studies that I have seen, have not found the kind of voter fraud of the type described by politicians that would give rise to concerns about integrity of elections. I've never seen it. Not to say that doesn't exist, but the studies are not there.
What about
the
president's
evidence is not there?
What about the president's assertion that over 2 million people may have voted illegally in the last election?
Well, that is an assertion, yes, and I would leave it at that. Again, he has no evidence. He cannot provide evidence for that, because nobody has that kind of evidence. It doesn't exist. Which, you know, and I I could say much more about that, but the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, he can say it, but that doesn't make it true.
What about, but is it possible that many, maybe they're confusing a name and a number. That is, maybe there are a couple million people. I'm registered in two places. Maybe there's 2 or 3 million of us who are registered to vote in more than one county, more than one state.
No, it may be that, but that doesn't make it voter fraud, right? The fraud comes in when you decide to go back and vote in two separate places. I mean, that we don't have that kind of evidence. It's what I said before. People may for sure be registered in more than one place, but that doesn't mean that people are trying to rig elections or trying to influence elections or trying to vote in more than one place simply because of their registration in separate places. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'm sure you are. I'm sure I was at one point registered. In fact, I lived in Glen Ellyn once upon a time, and I registered to vote there when I moved to Bloomington. Surely I didn't go back and unregister myself, but I never went back to Glen Ellyn to try to vote. Yeah. And, you know, people do that all the time.
Well, I think the president, make it voter I think fraud. The president himself is registered in more than one place.
I bet he is.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, right.
Correct. That's right. Right. That doesn't mean anything. It's standing alone. And we need the evidence for voter fraud that he doesn't have. And here's the trick, to cry voter fraud, to complain about voter fraud, and then to create commissions. We know what that does. The concern here is voter suppression. The idea that the more you make it into an issue, then you discourage people from voting. You raise the stakes for voting. You raise the burdens of voting. That's the trick. That's a fine line between regulating elections and, you know, guarding the integrity of elections. And that's a line we've been traversing for many years. And so one side wants open elections, the other side, and, you know, this is the problem with politics, the other side wants to safeguard integrity. But there's really no evidence either way, so that it's easy to say voter fraud in order to make it harder to vote. And that's a concern we should take seriously, I think.
So you're not for voter IDs then?
I am for electoral integrity, but I am also for evidence. Right? The voter IDs came. I mean, I am all for people voting who are registered to vote and who are legitimate voters. I am not for adding burdens where there's no problem to begin with. That should, I think, it should be an issue that should concern all of us.
Well, I think one of the arguments about this is that voting is a constitutional right. As a citizen of a certain age, you get to vote, you know, shy of some restrictions. Like if you are a convicted felon, some places I guess you can't vote. But by and large, you have the right to vote. And having to produce an ID to justify that right is wrong. I should be able to vote because I'm a U.S. citizen, and I shouldn't have to produce some sort of document for it. You don't have to produce documents proving that you're a U.S. citizen, say, to exercise free speech or free religion. And by the way, there are people who want you to be able to own and carry guns the same way. You shouldn't have a license. You shouldn't have to have that registered. It's a constitutional right. So it's a very interesting kind of strategy or thought process, isn't it?
No, that's right. That's the issue, right? In the end, is where there's going to be a burden either way. Do we place a burden on the state?
Right.
Or do we place a burden on the citizen? That's exactly right. And we choose to not only place it on the citizen, but we keep piling more burdens on top of each other. So then that our country has such a low voting turnout rate should not surprise anybody.
But you know,
we don't make it easy.
But you know, it's but we're making it sound like getting an ID card is really hard. Is it really that hard, Professor? It's 2:49. We'll finish this conversation. we'll finish this conversation in a minute. Frankly, Professor, I'm worried about you. I want you to get out more and play some baseball, that sort of thing.
I think about baseball too, by the way. Yes, of course.
So real quick here, just a quick question or two from some of our listeners, because Peter actually had a question that I think some people might also have. Peter, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Why would we not want to have some form of voter ID in this country? Why would we want to have people that are here illegally determine what our community laws are, the people we elect to influence our foreign policy, and so on? This is not something that we should be treated lightly.
What about that, Professor?
And those people who cannot make it to get voter IDs well, we always get the vote out somehow. Let's arrange for transportation, community centers, where several times a year people can go to those areas within their own communities, get photo ID'd, and get a voter registration.
Now, we hear you loud and clear. I want to get his answer before time runs out. Professor, go ahead.
The point is one of burdens. This is what I said before. Who should have the burden, the citizen or the state? So that when you think about voter IDs, right, you're saying to the citizen, you need to go through all these hoops in order to be able to vote.
Yeah, but you're talking about two different people, Professor. You made that point a moment ago. He's talking about the tens of millions of people who are here illegally. Do they vote, and should they be allowed to influence elections?
They do not. That's a separate question. Whether undocumented people vote, it's a separate question from voter IDs for people who are legitimately registered to vote.
Well, but if they had to have...
The question is a separate question.
Okay, but that's the question he's asking about. If we had voter IDs, wouldn't that weed those people out?
But the issue is, are those people being weeded out without the voter ID put in place, right? If there's no problem weeding people out who should not be voting, then why adding the ID requirement is simply making it more burdensome for people who are, in fact, legitimately registered and legitimately able to vote in U.S. elections.
So I get that point. But you're also using the word burden. Really? Getting a voter ID would be a burden?
Well, anything you do, even saying to people 9 to 5, you have to vote on Tuesday. I mean, anything you do outside of, in fact, anything at all, basically, it's a burden. I'm thinking in this way, the way the law thinks about it. The point is, the state can place burdens on the right to vote. It just can't go too far. But the burden the law places cannot be an undue burden. And, of course, we debate ad nauseum what an undue burden is. In this case, if I were to tell you, if you agree with me, that there's really no problem whatsoever in election, there's no evidence in any place that I have seen, that scholars have found, any evidence of voter fraud, of undocumented people voting, for example, of people who are not registered legitimately trying to vote, to add things to those of us who are actually legitimate voters creates a burden, right? Even having to go to the DMV.
Yeah,
it's
no,
a
I get it.
Now, we're quibble, right?
I think your point about one day and the limited hours, I mean, for some people that work or don't have this, you know, not everybody has an awesome life with great transportation. You make an interesting point that way, and we are out of time. Professor Luis Fuentes Rauer is a professor of law at University of Indiana, Bloomington. Professor, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for helping us today. We will call you again, sir.
Likewise, anytime. Thank you for having me.